Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
The Los Angeles Lakers are your 2020 NBA champions. Welcome into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. That is the big story today. The Lakers close out the bubble in Orlando with a dominating victory over the Miami Heat. They win the series 4-2. The Lakers have now won 17 NBA titles. LeBron James, a four-time NBA champ, a four-time Finals MVP. Anthony Davis gets his first ring. And Travis, last night, well, the Lakers, they did it in style. There was no sort of on-edge moment in that game. I mean, if you go back to Game 5, it was intense. Game 4 was intense. The Miami Heat looked spent. The Los Angeles Lakers did not, and now they're NBA champs.
Yeah, only having that one day off for Miami, they used all that energy just to get to Game 6, and you could see from the get-go, they were spent. Lakers went wire-to-wire, never trailed in that game, never allowed Miami to get any momentum, and they really smacked them in the mouth from the start.
Yeah, and it's quite impressive when you take a look at the way the season came to an end. The Lakers go 16-5 in the bubble. I mean, think about that, 16-5 in the playoffs. And you can't really look back at the seeding games because the Lakers had the one seed wrapped up so early after they beat the Clippers. Whatever. It's whatever at that point. But to go 16-5 in the playoffs with no home court advantage, playing every other day when your superstar is 36 years old, to me, look, it's impressive. You may not be a Laker fan, and that's completely fine. You have to respect what this team did. All in all, look, it's quite remarkable. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, because nobody picked this team to win the championship.
No, a lot of people didn't know if they'd make the playoffs.
Yeah, a lot of people said, well, they're not going to make the playoffs, or they're going to be a 5, 6, 7, or 8 seed. Then they get the 1 seed, and then they work their way into the bubble. Well, the Clippers are better. The Bucks are better. The Blazers are going to beat them. The Rockets are going to beat them. They played through all that, like you said, no home court advantage, and they really took it to, you know, Portland, Houston, and Denver, and they got to the finals and did what they had to do. So, you know, you got to credit that team because it's not easy being in that bubble for 100 days and have to focus on basketball, not being with your family and all that. That's difficult.
Yeah, look, I know these guys are well compensated. I get that. But these guys lived in a hotel for over 100 days. You started to lose sight of what's happening outside. Think about this. You go on vacation, you take a 7 or 8 day vacation, you get away from the world. When you come back from a 7 day vacation, you're energized because you want to implement yourself once again with reality. These guys were removed from reality for 100 days. And look, on the flip side of that, you have to credit the Miami Heat because we could sit here and talk about how improbable it was based on the narrative surrounding the Lakers. For the life of me, I could not understand why people honestly thought that this team was not going to be good when they made the trade for Anthony Davis. The day they made the trade, I said the Lakers are going to win an NBA championship. Yeah, the day they made that trade.
We sat on this show and said the Lakers are the favorites to win it all.
There was no doubt.
And everybody kept saying, well, they gave up too much for Anthony Davis. You're crazy.
No.
He's one of the top five players in the league.
He's probably one of the top three based on the fact that Kevin Durant did not play last year.
Yeah, if you go top three, it's LeBron, it's Giannis or Kawhi and Anthony Davis, pick out of those
top
two.
Four, there's no question. So while the narrative surrounding the Lakers, it's a fun story, and we'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show, we have to look at the narrative surrounding the Miami Heat, which there was none, right? Jimmy Butler signs with Miami in the offseason, and it was so under the radar because of the Kawhi hoopla and the Clippers trading for Paul George and the Lakers bringing in Anthony Davis. Honestly, I believe the Jazz got more hype signing Bojan Bogdanovic than the Heat did signing Jimmy Butler because the story on Butler at that particular time was
he's not a winner.
He's a cancer. He can kill a culture. it wasn't working in Philadelphia, it didn't work in Minnesota, it didn't work in Chicago. You don't want this guy. And it was a sneaky move for the Miami Heat, and Pat Riley did a terrific job of building a team around Jimmy Butler. And it almost paid off. I mean, they were two wins away from an NBA championship. So while we sit here today and we praise the Lakers, and we can praise Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was phenomenal in the NBA Finals, and Rajon Rondo, you have to look at what the Heat are doing, and I assure you,
they're going to get better.
Yeah, this is not the last we've heard of the Miami Heat, I assure you, because they have money.
Yes, they do.
They're going to lure in. I guarantee you they bring in a marquee free agent. I guarantee you.
They're one superstar away from, you know, being competitive once again, and you're right.
I don't even know if they're a superstar away, Travis.
They might be a couple role players because Tyler Herro's a rookie. He struggled in the finals. I mean, he was bad. If we're going to wave the pom-poms for him every time he does something good, you got to criticize that kid for the way he played in the finals. He was bad in the NBA Finals. And if you go back, you're right. The Jazz got a lot of hoopla. When they made that signing for Boyan, a lot of people thought the Jazz had a chance to make the NBA Finals. There was a couple guys out there in the national media that picked the Jazz to win the West and get to the Finals. And the Jimmy Butler signing was under, you know, the radar. But Miami's just a couple player, maybe one player away. So
yeah, I don't even think it's a superstar because you got to remember in the NBA Finals, they did not have Goran Dragic. And that mattered. This guy was the leading scorer on the team, and it forced Jimmy Butler to do so much more.
He had to do everything.
He did. And here's the thing that I was sad about yesterday. When you look at Jimmy Butler leaving the podium after Game 5, he just looked spent.
You knew it was over. You knew that they had no chance in 6.
Yes, I mean, really. And we've seen it before. You have to use so much energy to force that Game 6, even though you have stolen momentum. How much is really left in the tank? If there would have been 2 days in between Game 5 and Game 6,
it's a difference.
It's a different story. But that Heat team, look, they deserve all the credit in the world. They deserve all the respect in the world for being Eastern Conference champions. We'll talk more about the NBA Finals next segment here on the show. We'll bring in Jameson Welsh of BasketballNews.com, and we'll continue to look at the aftermath of the NBA Finals. But right now, we do have playoff baseball going on. The Tampa Bay Rays hold a 3-0 lead going into the sixth inning over the Houston Astros. They're up 1-0 already in this series, and again, ALCS, NLCS, we get the Dodgers, Braves coming up tonight, 6 o'clock start time. There are no off days.
Good.
You could play 7 consecutive days in the ALCS or the NLCS, which in my mind, it really takes a lot to steal momentum. Tampa Bay is firing on all cylinders right now. They're up 3-0 going into the sixth inning over a Houston Astro team that's going to have to rely on their offense to win games because I just don't see it pitching rotation-wise, having to play 7 games in 7 days if that's what it takes to get to the World Series. They have to score runs, and right now they are shut out going into the sixth inning. That's not going to get the job done.
Yeah, that's why the Rays showed from the get-go at the start of the season that they've been the best team in the American League. They continue to push towards the World Series, so Astros gave up, they made a mental mistake giving up 3 outs, and then the next, you know, time around, they gave up a 3-run homer. You can't do that in playoff baseball.
Yeah, the only score in this game, and one more go, homer to center field in the opening inning. It was a 3-run shot, and that has remained the same up until this point. Lance McCullers on the mound for the Astros. He's gone 5 innings, giving up really no earned runs because, if I'm not mistaken, it came off of an error.
Yep, gave up a free out.
Yeah, he has pitched very well for this team. This is a game that should be ripe for the pickings if you're the Houston Astros, yet they find themselves down 3-0. So a tough go so far. We'll keep you updated on that game. As I mentioned, coming up tonight, Dodgers-Braves, 6:08. Dodgers, best team in baseball, but this Atlanta team is also undefeated in the postseason. Something's got to give tonight. Braves-Dodgers both looking for their 6th consecutive playoff win.
Yeah, the Braves pitching didn't get a lot of respect coming into the playoffs. It was all about their offense. Their pitching has really been really good. Now it's a difficult task because that Braves lineup, the Dodgers lineup, they can throw everything at you. Just don't think the Braves have enough against the Dodgers.
Let's move over to the NFL. The sad story yesterday, Dak Prescott injures, it was a compound fracture of the ankle yesterday against the New York Giants. Obviously, his season is done, and immediately the talk, because Dak is going to recover from this. Dak is young. Dak is going to be just fine, I believe. We're going to see him hopefully next season, and you hope everything is just back to normal for Dak. But immediately, the big question was, contract-wise, what does this look like for Dak? Because he was signed under the $31 million franchise tender this year, and so he does not have a contract for next season. That was one of the big stories last night. And then Stephen Jones, vice president of the Cowboys, comes out today and says that Dak Prescott is still the future of the franchise. Cowboys are going to take care of this guy, I hope.
They could use a tag on him again next March. That would give him a $37.7 million deal. I don't believe they allow him to test free agency. Seeing Jones come out and say this today, look, it's a tip your hat to the Dallas Cowboys, because while health is always the number one concern, we understand this is why players hold out. This is why players hold out. This is why players don't want the franchise tag, because you're looking for long-term stability. And so for Jones to come out and say this again, congrats to the Cowboys. I hope they take care of Dak.
Because a snap of the fingers, your whole career could end. And that's why they hold out, Jordan, to get that money.
Yeah.
And they're very fortunate that it wasn't a bigger issue with Dak yesterday than when it was.
It's a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal. And we'll see. He's going to bounce back, like you said.
He'll bounce back.
That's why they hold out. And, you know, people complain about it all the time, but that's why they have to look out for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. You're looking for that long-term stability. We'll end with some more Major League Baseball news. The Chicago White Sox have parted ways with Rick Renteria today. The team made this announcement. He spent the last four seasons as the White Sox manager, finishing with a 236-309 record. They went 35-25 this year, lost 2-1 to the A's in the wild card round. Premature, or do you agree with it?
Premature, I think, because the White Sox, they hadn't done anything until he got there.
They're young.
They're young, so I don't know what direction they go, but all right, whatever.
Now, this move, according to White Sox, the front office, general manager Rick Hahn said that this had nothing to do with some of the controversial pitching moves that he made in the playoffs or the team faltering down the stretch. I have to disagree. Why else would you get rid of this guy? Why else would you get rid of him? You hit it right on the head. This team's getting better. Obviously, something was done late in the season or in the postseason that Rick Hahn did not like, and that's why they're looking for a new manager.
I heard some things, read some things, that maybe the locker room, like, he turned off the younger players because of some things, like how hard he was on them. You got to be tough. I mean, what did the White Sox do before he got there?
Nothing.
They were horrible.
Nothing, yeah.
He comes in, he takes them to the playoffs. What, is this his first or second year?
Fourth
year? I mean, it's going to take time because that team was so far down. They built it back up and he got them there.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Again, they were the sexy pick, remember?
A lot of people were high on him.
A lot of people were high on him because they were up and coming. I don't think the White Sox did anything in the offseason that made me say, okay, all right, yeah, it was built from within. That's what really surprises me about this move. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Local sports recap is coming up. A lot happened over the weekend, be it high school football, looking ahead, also talking volleyball. Carbon did a lot of great things over the weekend. We'll get you a recap there. We'll continue to cap off the 2020 NBA season. We'll talk Los Angeles Laker basketball. It's all straight ahead, and it's right here on Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll look at local sports. And we will begin with high school football. And Friday night, a second half rally from the Emory Spartans fell just short as they dropped a heartbreaking 31-23 loss to the Richfield Wildcats on the road in a Region 12 championship matchup. Emory trailed 31-7 in the contest, but rallied to cut the lead to 8. However, it was Richfield that put the game away as they converted a pivotal 3rd-and-10 with under 2 minutes to play in the ball game. In the loss, Emory was led by junior quarterback Riker Jensen, who accounted for 2 of the team's 3 touchdowns. Jensen scored the first in the opening quarter on a 36-yard run on 4th-and-1. Trailing by 24 in the fourth quarter, Jensen later connected with Jeremy Brannon on a 9-yard touchdown pass. The third touchdown of the game came from Jace Mangum as he scored on a 4-yard run. Emory also converted 2 2-point conversions to chop the lead to 8. Richfield, on the flip side, was led by quarterback Gavin Brown, who completed 9 of 17 passes for 90 yards and a touchdown. On the ground, it was Casey Giddings that accumulated 145 yards for Richfield and a score. Now, with the loss, Emory's 3-game winning streak comes to a close, and they dip to 3-1 in region play. The Spartans will have an opportunity to lock up second place in Region 12 when they return to the field this Friday to take on the San Juan Broncos at home in the regular season finale. Start time for that contest is scheduled for 7 p.m. We switch up schools and move over to Carbon High School, and the Dinos are still in search of that elusive first region victory as they dropped a tough one on the road to the San Juan Broncos by a final score of 65-7. Carbon trailed 28-0 at the end of the first quarter, and the offensive woes continued throughout most of the game before the Dinos finally put one in the end zone in the fourth quarter as Davin Moss capped off an efficient drive with a 2-yard run. All in all, the Dinos turned the football over 7 times in the contest, and for San Juan, it was a field day for quarterback Jace Palmer, who completed 14 of 21 passes for 114 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now the Dinos have one more opportunity to log a region win. They'll return to the football field on Wednesday. They'll play host to the South Sevier Rams. A loss would ultimately bring an end to the season. A win would put Carbon in the conversation to at least grab one of the final 2 playoff spots. Live coverage of Wednesday's contest will begin at 6:30 p.m. on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Kickoff will follow at 7. We move over to volleyball, and it was a very productive weekend for the Carbon Lady Dinos as they traveled to a non-region tournament in Richfield. Carbon took their first few games of the tournament, defeating South Summit in 3 sets and then defeating Crimson Hills 3-2. Saturday, Carbon returned to the court. They took wins over South Summit, North St. Pete, and Grantsville. Carbon was the number 1 seed and played North Summit for the tournament championship, but unfortunately came up just short, but not before accumulating multiple wins to boost their RPI ranking all the way to number 2. Carbon will now prepare to wrap up the regular season. They'll return to the court tomorrow to take on the Grand Red Devils at home. Start time is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. And we end by moving over to cross country. Originally scheduled to take place this Wednesday, the Region 12 Championship meet, which features Carbon and Emory, has been moved to tomorrow. This will take place at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course. The girls will begin their run at 4 p.m. and the boys will follow at 4:30. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Kendrick Nunn gets down the lane, blocked by Davis, saved by Caruso. Davis throws it down with the foul. Rondo with the perfect bounce pass. The lead is 20 and a chance for a 3-point play. Caldwell Pope for 3, puts it in. 61-34 with a minute to play here in the second. And that's it, it's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Championship Monday here on Drive Time Sports. Last night, the Los Angeles Lakers winning championship number 17 for the franchise. They topped the Miami Heat by 13 points in Game 6. Game was not even that close. LA at one point in time held a 36-point lead. Had a different feel right from the beginning. And the Lakers, they leave the bubble with the Larry O'Brien Trophy. We're going to talk about it throughout pretty much the entire show today. And we're going to kick things off right now with Jameson Welsh. He is our NBA insider of BasketballNews.com. And Jameson, as always, a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Man, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
We had you on opening night. I remember going back to it, Lakers-Clippers. You and I gave out our predictions. Both of us predicted that the Lakers would get to the NBA championship. That was not a big surprise to me. Although the bubble, it was a different, it threw a wrench into the equation. It was a different vibe. It was a variable that really could not be accounted for. And at the end of the day, when you take a look at what the Lakers did in this playoff run, I mean, they take care of Portland in 5. They take care of Houston and Denver in 5. They take care of the Heat in 6. Fairly dominant when you really look at the situation.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you look at the whole situation. They were extremely dominant, and they're one of the better defensive teams we've seen in a long time, especially in this era. It's very hard in this NBA to hold teams under 100 points. You know, with the 3-point shooting, the pace of play, it's just very, very difficult. And their defense was top-notch for most of these playoffs. And that's huge. You know, that doesn't get talked about because defense is something that is not pretty. It doesn't get the casual fans' attention. But that's how games are won. And when I saw Frank Vogel put Caruso in the starting lineup, for Game 6, I'm not going to compare it to when the Warriors did it in their first one when they put Iguodala in their lineup and went very small and they went with their offensive team. They're going to make sure they go out their way. It's similar. It's not the same thing because the Lakers were not down this year. They were up. But when Frank Vogel did that, I was like, that's a good move because that's their best defensive lineup with Miami going small. And instead of having a big out there that's, you know, causing two fouls whenever he's out there and getting Miami in penalty, you have a guy that can literally stay ahead of shooters and make sure that the switches are getting taken care of. So to me, it made plenty of sense. I was like, okay, so if Lakers are going out, they're going to go out with their defense first, and that made plenty of sense, and that's why they're world champions.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up Frank Vogel, because this is a guy that made adjustments throughout the entire bubble. There was a time where we would see JaVale McGee start. JaVale McGee did not even play one single minute in the NBA Finals. We saw, once again, Frank Vogel get the most out of a big man in Dwight Howard. You can say whatever you want about Dwight. I honestly believe that there are some connections, some similarities to the way Frank Vogel used Roy Hibbert, right? Like, Roy Hibbert was an all-star center under Frank Vogel in Indiana. Once he left the Pacers, Roy Hibbert was out of the league in a couple of seasons. And you see this resurgence with the way that Frank Vogel is able to use bigs on both sides of the basketball. This cannot be overstated that the Lakers win a championship, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that this team bought in to the idea of Frank Vogel and what he accomplished defensively. This was a guy that was on the brink in Indiana. I mean, if he didn't have to go through three Hall of Famers in LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, there's a good chance that Frank Vogel is still the coach in Indiana right now. Things went wrong because this guy had to get through three Hall of Famers. So when you look at the coaching career of Frank Vogel, very underrated coach. I love the hire when the Lakers actually made it official, and Jameson, it paid dividends in the postseason.
Without a doubt. I mean, you have to realize he was definitely not their first choice. I think Monty Williams was probably their first choice. It didn't work out. Ty Lue, if Ty Lue takes a three-year deal, you know, Ty Lue's coach. But it didn't work out. Ty Lue wanted more years, and rightfully so. He's a championship-winning coach, and he deserves that. And Frank Vogel, to his credit, he took the job. He took 3 years, said, hey, it's my job. I'm going to do the best I can with it. He got guys to buy in. And, I mean, it helps when you have the best defensive player in the world on your team. But also, when you have you get LeBron James to buy in defensively, that's already the best part. And they didn't have to buy in defensively to sacrifice offense. That wasn't the case. A lot of times, a lot of coaches will sacrifice offense to the point where guys are, you know, having to work extra hard on defense or having to sacrifice shots or whatever on offense in order to make sure that on the other end, they defense is a priority. They were able to maintain that defense is a priority. We're a defensive first team. That's how we're going to win games. And that, you know, they made so much havoc on the defensive end. It created so many easy baskets and so many runouts for LeBron and Anthony Davis and everyone else that became their calling card in a league that's gone offense only. They went defense, and they did it with two of the best players in the world, and that's amazing.
Again, Jameson Welsh of BasketballNews.com, our guest right now as we talk about the Los Angeles Lakers winning championship number 17. The idea of pairing LeBron James up with Anthony Davis, to me, it was a match made in heaven from the get-go. I know there was a lot of talk about the Lakers giving up too much. I can't stress this enough. When you have one superstar, and LeBron James, to call him a superstar may even be an understatement, okay? But when you have someone like LeBron James, you cannot possibly give up too much to bring in a generational talent like Anthony Davis. You and I were just talking off the cuff. This is the best player that LeBron has ever played with. That's no disrespect to Dwayne Wade. It's no disrespect to Chris Bosh. There's no question Anthony Davis was the best player is the best player LeBron James has ever played with. When you look at it on paper, the idea that anybody questioned Rob Pelinka giving up Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and swapping picks, it was ludicrous to me then, and last night it was justification for everything. I think it's a great night for Rob Pelinka as well.
Should have gave him Kuzma another pick as well. That's how important Anthony Davis is. That's how valuable he is. Them picks, man, look here. So when it comes to draft picks, they're the most overvalued thing in the NBA because – I'll give you a perfect example. A few years back, Boston gets a lot of picks from the Brooklyn Nets. Get a bunch of boatload of picks. All those picks, remember all the hype you heard about them for so many years? Oh, they got this pick in 2018. They got the Memphis pick. Well, the Memphis pick is the 14th pick of this year's draft, where you can't work out guys and you doing Zoom interviews, Jordan. How am I going to have a lottery pick and I can't work out a dude and it's a Zoom interview?
Yep.
And I got the 14th pick when it's supposed to be a lottery pick, a top five lottery pick.
Yep.
I don't want to hear nothing about future picks and all this and that. As long as they ain't the number one pick and you giving up like a generational talent, if you just talk about just giving up picks, just give up picks, hey, man, look here. You can take all the picks you want because at the end of the day, this is a superstar league. And in most cases, you are either trading for a guy or a guy is coming to your team as a free agent to win a championship. That's normally how it goes. The draft is cool. The draft looks like it's in a position to get Anthony Davis. They did draft very well over this past decade, especially in the second round, which does not get enough attention. But with that being said, the draft only gets you so far. You still need that extra player or two to get your hump in free agency, and that's what happens. Even with the Warriors, as great as they drafted their core of Steph, Draymond, and Klay in the draft. Their two most important pieces after that came via free agency. It came via Andre Iguodala signing for a deal, and, of course, Kevin Durant. So I'd rather have the free agent capabilities than having a boatload of picks.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And even, I mean, you mentioned Boston. Let's be real here. Yes, Boston had a ton of draft capital, but one of the real reasons that we consider the Boston Celtics championship contenders is because of the noise that they have made in free agency. I understand that the Gordon Hayward deal has not worked out, but that was a very big deal. They also landed Kemba Walker. So when you look at what the Celtics had draft capital-wise, Jameson, Danny Ainge has still been very successful in the free agent market.
He has, but here's the thing, Jordan. When you have those kind of assets, you got to win a ring.
Oh, I agree. I agree. No, no, there's no question. There's no question. But even with those draft picks, you still have to be active in the free agent market. You don't have a choice.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, it has to be. It has to be a combination of both. Now, if you're in a market like a Utah or a Memphis or a Minnesota or Milwaukee, it's a bit different because you don't really get free agents like that. So, yes, draft picks in those markets is different. Now, Boston's a bit different, even though it's not a great free agent destination. They can still get guys and whatnot. So I thought, I'm a big fan of cashing in your chips and going for it than drafting a bunch of guys and hoping it works out. That's just me personally.
Let's look at the Laker organization and now where LeBron fits in, because there's this idea that you have to win multiple championships because of the rich history that the Lakers have. And I get that on paper, but Jameson, you got to look at this more deep. Last night, there is absolutely no question that LeBron James, in my mind, will have his number hanging up at Staples Center because of the different variables. For one, I don't believe that there is another superstar that was better fit to pull an organization together than LeBron James, considering the tragedy that took place in January. I don't believe that there is another star caliber individual that could have taken the Lakers from the worst six-year span in team history to immediate contention. And even though they didn't make the postseason last year, let's be real, if LeBron doesn't go down, they get into the playoffs. They were the fourth seed at Christmas when he went down. When you look at everything that this organization has been through over the last 6 years, the transition of power from Jim Buss to Jeannie Buss, you look at the free agent game and the way the Lakers were striking out and the likes of LaMarcus Aldridge and Carmelo Anthony, and it just goes on and on and on and on. LeBron James put an organization that was floundering back at the very top. And in my mind, he deserves to have his number hung in the rafters. I do not believe that he has to win multiple championships to earn his spot, considering where this franchise was and everything they've been through over the last 6 years.
Man, so the Lakers have been through this decade. Let's run it back to the decade, Jordan. Because, you know, you and I, we both know how this works. Earlier in the decade, or last decade, however you want to call it, Chris Paul trade doesn't go through. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sets the franchise back. They get Dwight Howard, doesn't work out. And Dwight at that time was a top five player, maybe even higher on that list, but he was really great player, great asset at that time, didn't work out. Kobe gets hurt. And Kobe retires. Then the whole, you know, family trust situation goes on. In the meantime, Dr. Buss passes away as well. All that stuff is going on. Team is in turmoil. Everything's messed up. There's no real great light in the tunnel. Like, there's nothing great going on. It's just that it's uppercut after uppercut after uppercut. And then two summers ago, LeBron wants to be a Laker and comes and signs the Laker. Changes everything. However, there's still some more rocky times. You know, the roster isn't a great fit. You know, you mentioned he gets hurt. And, you know, Lonzo Ball gets hurt, Brandon Ingram gets hurt, and the rest of history.
Magic Johnson quits. We can't forget about that. Magic Johnson, one of the saviors of this franchise.
I was getting to that. At the last game of the season, on an impromptu press conference without alerting LeBron or anyone else important. So, yeah, so much happened over the last 8 years with this franchise. A lot of it was self-inflicted. Some of it was just, you know, the stuff that happened. And, yeah, they were able to overcome that relatively quickly and win a championship. And that, to me, is amazing. Like, that, to me, is truly amazing. But Jeannie Buss stayed the course, didn't panic, didn't do anything crazy, has made some solid hires in Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel, going to lead the franchise, and was able to got to include Magic Johnson as well, and getting LeBron here, because without Magic, LeBron don't come. And it worked out.
It definitely is a very unusual rise. It happened in a hurry. And I still to this day, and I know Laker fans are getting a kick out of it today, that all of the negativity that was said about this team of the offseason, you honestly had people thinking that this squad wouldn't make the playoffs. Right, so if anyone wants to diminish anything that LeBron accomplished, if you want to put down the idea that he wanted the bubble, look, to me, this probably was one of the most difficult championships you could possibly win. Everything that's happening right now in the country, everything that's happening worldwide with a pandemic, no home court advantage, being locked in a hotel room for over 100 days. Look, this was extremely difficult to win. With the narrative itself, this is highly impressive. And Jameson, outside of coming back from a 3-1 deficit to Golden State, it is the most impressive accomplishment, maybe the most impressive accomplishment of LeBron's career.
It's definitely up there. And the one thing about I will say about LeBron is his leadership capabilities are huge. And it's not just a basketball thing. It's just a person thing. Whenever you can get a bunch of grown men that are millionaires for the most part to be on point, not embarrass themselves, make sure they don't embarrass the team, and focus on one goal in a weird circumstance situation, you got something. Because LeBron is a chill person. You know, he's drinking wine in the room every night, and that's what he does. But other teams didn't have that same situation. The Clippers, you know, the team that a lot of people have win the whole thing. You know, they were probably a more talented team, but they had no leadership. You had guys leaving inside and outside the bubble. You had guys being caught at adult clubs. You had, you know, people doing whatever, saying whatever they wanted. There was no leadership there, and it showed on the court. Lakers had leadership. It showed on the court. Whenever there was a change in the lineup, you didn't hear any fussing. You didn't see any smirking or any attitudes. It was just next man up, and there you go. And that's the difference between a champion and a loser.
No question. There's no question about it. Jameson Welsh, again, our guest right now at basketballnews.com. Jameson, it's been a long road. The Lakers are champions here on this Monday. It's been a pleasure talking basketball with you throughout the bubble. I know we're going to have plenty more to talk about, because if you think the bubble was crazy, this is going to be an offseason unlike anything that we have ever seen. I know you have some inside sources. You're going to see teams react over the next couple of months unlike anything that we have seen before, just based on the revenue that the league lost when the league shut down in March. This is going to be bizarre over the next few months.
Expiring contracts are going to be very vital to NBA teams.
No doubt.
Very vital. So look out. Teams do not want to pay the tax. So you're going to see good players like a Malcolm Brogdon or Victor Oladipo become available. You're going to see guys that are borderline all-stars. It wouldn't surprise me if Zach LaVine's available. And for what you may be able to get him for, might not be as much as you think. So just an FYI there.
Jameson, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time, and we'll do it again real soon.
Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll continue to recap Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Lakers, they're about to hang banner 17. We're back right after this.
We've got breaking news. LeBron is a Laker.
Let's take him back. Uh-huh.
LeBron James, Los Angeles, is out of the championship business. He wants to be a 6'8" Kevin Hart. That's why he's here.
LeBron James has a better chance probably of winning an Emmy than he does winning a championship in LA.
A few moments later,
the Pelicans have agreed to finally trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers.
I think the Pelicans won the trade about as convincingly as I've ever seen a team win a superstar trade.
Well, our agent Wojnarowski reporting that Kawhi Leonard is going to join the Clippers.
Kawhi is the reigning and defending best player in the game until proven otherwise. And that includes LeBron James.
Kawhi Leonard is so much easier to plug in to any lineup than Anthony Davis.
Defensively, who are the Lakers using to stop guys on the perimeter?
The Lakers, the back end of that roster, you've got
And I'm not sure on anybody else there.
What have we seen from Dwight Howard that would lead you to believe that he's going to come in and make any difference at all?
Is it not more likely that the Lakers miss the playoffs than win a championship?
So the odds are better that they miss the playoffs than they win the championship?
I would say so, yes.
They don't have Avery Bradley. Good luck against Portland.
The Los Angeles Lakers in five.
You cannot get to a conference finals. You can't hit threes and you can't defend them, and they don't do either.
As this series comes to an end, the Lakers advance.
Denver now's healthy, Jokic and all. Anthony Davis disappears from Portland. This is who he is. He got no dog.
Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis!
And I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
He'll take a three. LeBron James will hit a three. How about it? LeBron James. And the Lakers are headed back.
2020 got off to a terrible start. But this team has been a beacon of light, channeling that Mamba mentality. It took a while, but the Lakers are back.
This is what it's all about. We're thinking about the Bryant family, Vanessa and them daughters. They're with us. We're with you guys. We love you guys. And hopefully, you know, we make them proud.
It's Championship Monday. Boy, the narrative of the offseason. National media just didn't like the Los Angeles Lakers, did they?
They really didn't. That team was picked to finish fifth, and some said they would make the playoffs. So, yeah.
Chris Mannix, who I love.
He's great. He's a Boston homer, though.
You heard him during that rejoinder say that he thought the odds were better they would miss the playoffs.
What in the world
were people thinking?
Yeah, I don't understand that. They added one of the top three players in the league with, you know, one of the top two players in the league.
With one of the top five players of all time.
Yeah, and this team was picked to not make the playoffs?
Now that the season is over, the bubble's done. First off, kudos to the NBA. Kudos to Adam Silver. It worked. It worked.
It really did work. No positive test came out of it. So, yeah, it worked. So you got to give them credit when they came up with the idea. They followed through with it, and it worked.
Yeah, so July 17th, that's when players started arriving in the bubble. And only two players tested positive for COVID, and both those cases, that was during the initial quarantine period. Right? I mean, you have to tip your hat to the NBA. It absolutely worked. But let's be honest, if you're in the state of Utah, you're probably sick and tired of hearing Los Angeles Lakers are world champions. If you have any interest in the NBA at all, you wonder what's next. Because right now we should be gearing up for the 2020-21 season. Can you believe that?
Isn't it nuts?
Yeah. We would be on the verge of the regular season right now. So in a normal league year, a team can begin making trades once their season is over. And then all 30 teams can make trades once the NBA Finals conclude. This time around, there's a moratorium in place, meaning that nobody can do anything right now. So what's next? I mean, if you're a Utah Jazz fan, you want to get things off and rolling, you want to see how you can improve this team. We don't even know when the season is going to begin. And I'm telling you, just based off of people that I have talked to, we're looking at possibly February. I think that that is a realistic date. That's a month that continues to be thrown out to me. I was thinking maybe MLK Day. I mean, that'd give us 3 months. But you got to understand, for a team like the Lakers and the Heat, they just played 100. Basically, they played 100 days of hard-nosed basketball in the summer. So forget about international play.
Yeah, they got to throw that out. So yeah, February seems, you know, like the logical choice. They want 82 games. I get that's what the owners want. And maybe we get 82.
No, we don't get 82.
There's no way we get 82. Maybe no, I don't think 60? So.
I think 60 is probably the fair number to throw out. I think it'd be 60. But you got to look at all the nuances that still have to be figured out. The NBA and the Players Association have to negotiate a new salary cap. They have to negotiate a new luxury tax for the upcoming season, which is going to... It's going to make the offseason bizarre, because I believe expiring contracts, like we'll talk about the NBA champion Lakers. They have Danny Green and a $15 million expiring contract next season. That's a valuable trade chip. For as bad as Danny Green was in the postseason, you are going to have teams that want to avoid the luxury tax at all cost, trading for expiring deals to basically start over. I heavily believe that that's going to be the case, okay? So you have to negotiate a new salary cap, new luxury tax figures. There's several other financial and logistical details for the upcoming season, as well as far as TV contracts and when the moratorium is going to end. When does trade season begin? And once the new sides agree for new dates for free agency and other aspects, We still just don't know how long the season's going to be. Again, as you pointed out, 82 will not happen, I assure you. I think we're 2 years away from seeing an 82-game season again in the NBA. I think we get 60 games, and you can probably move into another 60-game season next year just to try to get things back on track. We're still, what, 6 weeks away from the draft, 5 weeks away from the draft?
Yeah, we don't know, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, fans and arenas and all that sort of thing moving forward. But it's going to take, like you said, 2 years to get back on a normal schedule. And at that point, yeah, we'll see if because the league wants to reduce 82 anyways. So this might be their way of saying, all right, moving forward, we're going to go to like 70 games.
Possible. Yeah, it's possible.
Because they don't want 82 anymore. So we'll see.
Okay, let's look at some of the biggest questions for both the Lakers and the Heat. And right out of the gate, the biggest question for the Lakers, Anthony Davis. Does he get a new deal? Does he sign a new deal? And if so, what does it look like?
No, he's not going anywhere. I mean, he has to say everything he has to say right now because that's great negotiating, but he's going to, I think he does a 2-for-1 maybe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 3-year deal, yeah, with a player opt out, and then he gets the Supermax.
Supermax.
So I believe that's what will happen. Remember, he declined a 4-year, $146 million extension back in January so he could earn more as an unrestricted free agent. And he did that about 2 months before the NBA suspended the season. So one of the other things that Anthony Davis could do, he could opt in. He's got a player option for next season. So if he really wanted to, he could opt in. If he wants to hold out for a 5-year offer, it's going to be a lot less than $202 million that he could have made.
So, you don't force your way to L.A. just to leave after 1 year. So
he's
long-term there because he already said he wants to, you know, go to 9 finals with LeBron. So 2-for-1 makes the most sense. Maybe just opts in and then, you know, waits till, you know, next summer to get that 5-year.
Now, as far as player options, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I would assume he exercises. Avery Bradley will be back. JaVale McGee will be back. Rajon Rondo will be back. But then you look at some of the other players. Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's an unrestricted free agent. And if the Lakers want to continue on with Dwight Howard, he's probably going to have to play a bigger role, and they're going to have to pay him a lot more than the vet minimum, which was not guaranteed, Travis, going into the season. So a contract for Dwight Howard is going to look drastically different next season. So to me, the two biggest question marks for the Lakers, it's not will Anthony Davis be back, it's what will that contract look like, and what happens with Dwight Howard? To me, those are the two biggest question marks for the Lakers.
Yeah, because I can see the Lakers, like you said, with Danny Green, JaVale McGee. McGee's going to opt in, but I don't know if he's a Laker next year. Maybe they try to move him. But yeah, Dwight Howard, I think he's comfortable in L.A. He really turned his career around. He took a chance on himself, and it paid off. But does someone offer him big money elsewhere? I just don't know what's going to happen.
I think
he's back in L.A. I think they make the numbers work for, you know, both sides.
Now, if you flip it and you look at the Miami Heat, there's a couple of different question marks for Miami, okay? The Heat have some important decisions to make. Again, every franchise should envy what they have right now because mm-hmm. you have Jimmy Butler locked up. He could become a free agent 2022. And it's a player option. Jimmy Butler is going to finish out his contract. Goran Dragic, Myers Leonard, Jay Crowder, those are the big names that will reach unrestricted free agency this offseason for the Heat. Kelly Olynyk has a $12.2 million player option. Did you know that?
I didn't, but that's an option that he's going to exercise.
There's no question about it.
That's
absolutely
a terrible deal.
So the issue with the Miami Heat, trying to clear up cap space for 2021. And even if you look at the way the Lakers have structured their team,
they are set up for 2021.
They have nothing on the books for 2021. Nothing. The only thing that is on the books for 2021 as we speak is LeBron James, if he decides to exercise his player option, which he most certainly will not. We know this.
No.
He'll opt out, re-sign. That's what LeBron James does.
And then he might re-sign to make things work for that franchise. So, I mean, everybody thinks that this might be a 1-year run. I mean, the Lakers are set up. They're going to improve the roster not only, you know, this year, but in 2021, they're going to get even better. This is going to be a long run of, you know, championship runs for the Lakers.
See, in the Heat, again, I mentioned some of the names. I believe that Goran Dragic comes back. He probably comes back at a discount. I don't think you'd have too much to worry about there if you're the Heat. But everyone is gearing up for 2021. That's what everybody is in. Everybody has their eyes on that free agent period. There are some other names, though, coming up this offseason that I think are interesting. For one, Serge Ibaka. You tell me that Serge Ibaka wouldn't look good in a Heat uniform?
he'd be a perfect fit right in that middle of, you know, that Miami defense with Bam.
Another guy that I was talking to you about, Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, he had some interesting tweets this morning.
He's about wanting to play in L.A.
Wanting to play in L.A., and that's a perfect fit for the Lakers. As much as Anthony Davis hates playing the five, I mean, if they sign Gallinari, that's a perfect fit with LeBron and AD.
See, he's not a fit for Miami, though. They have shooters all over the place. They have shooters everywhere. So I am curious to see what the Miami Heat look like next year. If the Lakers want to keep their entire core together, it's not going to be that difficult. Now, I believe you have to get better. You have to get better. The Lakers have to field a better roster moving into next season than they did this year. LeBron's another year older. You want to make it as appealing as possible to Anthony Davis. You got to add a couple of shooters. You have to. The Heat, I don't know what it's going to look like.
They're not that far away. Yeah, Miami just, like you said, Serge. I mean, you plug him in, they're probably the favorite in the East.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, the Lakers don't have to tweak much. Miami, they don't have to tweak much. Dallas, that's another team you have to look out for. Dallas isn't that far away either.
No, no.
Dallas is right there. I mean, if Dallas adds another little piece with, you know, Luka and Kristoff, Dallas is a team in the, I mean, the West is going to be pretty good next year. The Warriors are going to get better. Dallas is going to get better. And then the Lakers. We don't know about the Clippers. That's a question mark.
Nonetheless, look, if you're a Jazz fan, I think you have a reason to be optimistic moving into next season. I really do. I think you have a lot of reason for optimism. I think this Jazz team, past next season, maybe they have some question marks. But look, everybody wants to gear up for next season, but we are a little bit a ways from figuring out the nuances. So sit back, enjoy Major League Baseball, and enjoy the NFL, because that's what we have to kind of pass the time of the process. Out of time on this edition of the show. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Be safe. We are out.